Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. Paul, great to have you in the studio again today.
Yes, I'm looking to see what luxury item we're going to talk about today.
Well, you would think, and that's become kind of the norm for us, I suppose, but we have today, obviously, we have Letitia in with us today. Hey, Letitia, thanks for coming in.
What is that supposed to be? I'm not the luxury item.
That was a really bad lead-in.
It was. We were going to have fun.
Does that mean I'm serious? I bring serious to the table?
We're going to be serious today. Yeah. We were having fun, but Letitia's here.
So, hey!
We can have serious fun. We can have both.
Let's have some serious fun.
Okay.
With a super serious fun subject. So, Letitia and I thought that it would be great to, as our practice evolves and them, and as we're helping our clients, we see many, many different things. And a lot of our clients are owners of businesses or practices. And something that just happens that we've come across a lot lately, and things kind of come in seasons, is business continuity planning. And when I say business continuity planning, what that really refers to is, hey, there is either an existing partnership or corporation where there's more than one person, and or there's a new entity that they're going to form a partnership or a corporation. And the thoughts are, how do we address a number of certain things? So one thing is, hey, what if one of the partners wants to quit or retire? What if one of the partners becomes disabled? What if one of the partners dies? What happens? Now, there's things that will happen if you don't plan. And there's things that will happen if you do plan. So we would like to help those plan because the results are always better.
Correct.
So let's start. And then if we have time, we're going to get into another aspect of continuity planning. Now, beyond that, and if we have time, we'll talk about really passing from one generation to another, which is a little more glamorous than any of these other things. So with that said, and without using the name, of course, we'll kind of use a case study of one of our recent clients that we were talking about.
Perfect.
Okay. Anything you want to add before I go on? You're awfully quiet today.
We're doing great.
I think she's still bothered by that introduction.
Yeah, I really messed myself up, Paul. I'm going to get the death stare for the rest of the show. All right. So the common terminology for the components that I just mentioned are called buy-sell planning. Mm-hmm. And the buy-sell contract is best done when it's done by an attorney. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go off the shelf, I suppose, but mm-hmm. we always like to use and recommend an attorney. And then there's a checklist. Mm-hmm. And again, whether it's a corporation, we know there's different types of corporations. There's S-corps, there's C-corps, there's LLCs, there's partnerships. But in every case, there has to be a plan and or a contingency plan, if you will, for the different things. And so let's just start with, let's pick one.
Can we just take a step back and why? Like, what at what point are you setting these up?
Yeah. So with that, and I'll use this as an example. So let's just, one of my least favorite subjects, let's talk about death. All right. So we've got partners. And then one of them dies. So here's why we plan.
Do you have insurance, Bart?
Yes.
I think she wants to get added to the policy after
yeah.
today.
Well, it's funny you should say that. We're kind of working on that right now.
Is there something that I should know about? Are you feeling okay?
So in any event, without a proper plan in place. So Tish, let's just use you and I, for example.
Okay.
Okay. So you and I are partners, and let's assume for a second we don't have a plan in place.
And you die.
And I die because I've been talking a lot about that, and you've seen my letter opener in my desk drawer.
So, kind of scary, by the way.
So I'm dead. So we all know who becomes your partner, and that's my wife.
Yeah.
So just by state laws, federal laws, she becomes your wife. Not your wife, but your partner.
Wow, you guys are close.
See, we're taking a really, really sad subject and making it pretty fun. So, by law, she becomes your partner. And, of course,
which would be a lot of fun.
You guys would have fun.
I'm yeah.
not sure how business would continue, but
okay, so
maybe.
Talk to me. How would I prepare myself?
Right. So, in which case, then you'd have to figure out, hey, Tina's my partner. Does she want to be in the business? And maybe in some cases, the planning is, yeah, a spouse can step in and do what a person does. Most cases, 99% not. So, because, and especially we're in a community property state, she has all my assets, which is a stock in the company of our partnership. And so you got to figure out a way how to an offer. Well, first of all, you need to ask her, hey, I'd like to buy you out. And if it's not pre-planned, she might say, you know, I kind of like getting my percentage of a check. So just do your thing and I'll get paid. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes that, mm-hmm. except maybe the surviving spouse that you know, happened to be the recipient. So with the buy-sell agreement, everything is spelled out, right?
So and that's a solution.
That's a solution.
Yeah. Okay.
So like everything in life, left unplanned, failing to plan is planning to fail. And that's exactly what happens in this situation. So with
in an ideal situation, like you said, it would be great for, like you said, partners of any corporation or firm to sit down ahead of time and say, okay, look, in case someone passes away or something happens, would you want to work with my spouse? Most likely, probably the answer is going to be no. Otherwise, they would be working with them already, correct. Unless they're part of that team. And if they're not, okay, what does that look like so I can preserve our family legacy and also preserve our lifestyle? And then also, how do we be able to make sure that the other partner is able to preserve what's important to them in maintaining that company going forward? So what you're saying is your solution is a buy-sell. It's a legal contract that people can set up and they put in place to be able to make sure that all parties are protected the way that they originally may have intended in their mind, but it's just that step to be able to make sure that it does happen the way that they plan it, the partners do or the owners do ahead of time.
Yeah, I'd say it would be comparable to a married couple doing a living trust with a will.
Right.
This is a will for a company.
So it's a planning step.
Correct.
Perfect.
So within the buy-sell, so we'll address the four different things, and I'll finish up on the death, and then there's retirement, there's disability, there's termination, mm-hmm. right? Could be retirement. It could just be, you know, at some point, Letitia, you're going to say, Bart, you know what? You're just too old. You're not doing, you're just, it's time for you to leave, and then we need to have an accommodation
Poor
for
Bart.
That.
Poor Bart.
Poor me. So
just so we're clear. So business owners should look at multiple aspects when they're looking at making that buy sell. What's important to them? So you're saying number one, it's what?
Oh, death.
Right. No. In case of death, what are the things that they want to make sure? So to protect in case of death, it would be.
So I'm not understanding your question.
So aspects, so they want to make sure that they're protecting themselves in case something happened to one of the business owners. So you're saying death is one of them.
Retirement.
Disability.
And then just straight termination.
Termination. Yeah. Okay, so how do the business partners structure those four needs?
Yeah. So death can be handled, and they all can be handled in multiple ways.
Okay.
So death can either be handled in to say, and let's just continue like you and I as an example.
Okay.
So, okay, we have a value on our business, and this is the X value, and we can agree that, hey, I will pay Tina out over 10 years.
Got it.
15 years, whatever the time is.
Okay.
And or we might say, hey, I'll give her some lump sum up front, and then I'll pay her out over some time.
Okay.
And some we've seen actually quite often, someone just says, hey, you know, the likelihood, let's say Bart, you're going to probably work another 15 years or so. We'll get a life insurance policy to last that time
that was
period.
The next question I was going to ask is, how do you set that up? What are the tools that you use to actually implement that? So you're saying some people use a life insurance policy. What's the type of life insurance policy that they use? Give me an example. There's multiple.
So many. So
with a couple.
Yeah, we're working on another case where. Okay, so let's start out simple, and then I'll work our way down. So simple term policy. So if we say, Bart, you've got 15 years left before it's time for you to go. So let's do a 15-year term policy. It's inexpensive. At the end of the 15 years, the policy's gone. And if you outlive that 15 years, fine. No.
And how do you determine the policy value? You say, okay, the business is worth X. We want to be able to make sure you have the dollar amount and the policy value to cover that term and that dollar amount, correct?
So, correct. Let's say the business is worth $100.
Uh-huh.
But I always say, and I got this, I didn't make this up, but I love it. We buy a shoe size bigger, right? Because we think the value is going to go up. We think someday it'll be worth $150.
Uh-huh.
So let's buy a life insurance policy for $150 so Bart doesn't have to go through and get all the exams again and be older. And then who knows? Maybe not insurable. That happens. We've seen that happen with people all the time.
Correct. So that could be one solution. What's another solution?
Of life insurance solution?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's the least expensive and maybe the simplest.
So you're saying term.
Term
for the
insurance.
Duration of time of the exit that you think that it'll
correct
maybe be. And then what's the second
correct.
One?
And because all our listeners know the different types of insurance, because we covered this in about a year ago, and I'm sure everyone listened to that.
Right.
So the next one would be and I'm joking, by the way. And the next one would be some sort of a cash value insurance. And I won't get specific because there's many different types. But
yeah.
Generally speaking, it's a policy that accumulates cash that you can even use while you're alive. We'll keep it super simple.
Fantastic.
So you and I are working on a case right now, a law firm. And it's really great for them because they're already maxing out all their pension plan options. And mm-hmm. they're looking for another place to put some money on a tax-favored basis.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be a great option for them. Not only will they be covering the death benefit needs of the buy-sell plan, but they'll be able to put money away on a tax-favored basis, because at the end of the day, they'll have a kind of a pot of money that they'll be able to split if they work it out properly on a tax-free basis, which is one of the benefits of cash value insurance.
Great. Two good examples. I like it.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So the next is...
Let's talk about another issue. So say I go skiing. I'm a thrill seeker and I want to go skiing, and then I get hurt and I'm done. I can't come in.
Yeah.
I can't work. I'm disabled. What does that look like? How does someone protect their business from that?
So somewhat similar to the death scenario, the contract will have different considerations for disability. We call that disability.
Uh-huh.
And one would say, hey, if you're disabled for more than a year, this is pretty common,
mm-hmm.
and looks like you're not coming back. So two scenarios. One, you broke your leg, both legs, and you can't find a way into the office. Okay, you've got 6 months to come back in or whatever that time frame is.
Right.
But if it's something looks like, hey, it's over a year and it looks like you're not coming back.
Right.
Then that'll be another consideration.
Okay.
So.
And that would be an ability for them to be able to break that contract.
Well, I wouldn't call it break. It would be a separation.
Utilize
the
contract.
Buy, sell.
Got it.
Right. So it's now over a year. And okay, well, now we're using you. So you're out. You've banged your head and you're not coming back. And you're snow. You're
I'm out.
You're out. You're checked out. So you still have share. I mean, you're still a partner. You still have shares in the company. So I need to approach the surviving spouse that has the cognitive ability, say, look, that's time. According to the contract, it's a year. So we have to have a means to pay out. And predetermined in the contract would be, hey, if it's over a year, we're either going to, one, pay out over X number of years. Two, there are special disability policies that are buyout. So a normal disability policy says, hey, you're disabled for over 90 days. You can't come to the office. You're going to get a percentage of your income for X period of time.
A lot of different terms that people can use.
Correct. A buyout disability is designed specifically for that. It's a lump sum. And it could be, let's say your value in the company is $100. So it's a buyout disability policy that's, here's $100, and you will exchange. You're going to get paid $100. I, as your remaining partner, will get $100. I get $100, I exchange $100 to your family, and I get your shares, and they get the $100.
So in that case, everyone's happy because the surviving family is able to continue to move forward and then take care of their disabled person that they care about. And in addition to the business owner, they're still being able to conduct business as usual.
Correct. And we'll talk about something else that will help. Like now, because... I might be in a situation where I need to replace you. So we'll talk about that in a second. I think Paul wants to say
somebody tweeted and wants to know, do you inform the spouse, the significant other, of this whole arrangement? Or is this come as a surprise to them if and when their partner dies? In other words, I think what they're getting, I've read a lot of the, suddenly somebody dies and after the grief is over, a couple weeks go by, 30 days go by, something, and all of a sudden the wife says, or the husband, either one says, hey, what do I get and how does this work? And their assumption is that it's going to go on forever. And then you suddenly say, no, we have the right to buy you out here.
Well, and that's really important to, I was trying to get at in the very beginning with Bart, is you need to be able to plan ahead of time, and the more transparent, and we have a theme in what we talk about here, is the more transparent, the more you loop in the people that
right.
it impacts, the better it is. So, I mean...
But is that the norm? Because I think this person is questioning whether that happens most of the time. If I'm reading, maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Most likely not.
I don't think
it's... I don't see, it doesn't always happen.
A legal requirement, but...
Yeah.
But...
we always recommend it, but
you know, and interestingly enough,
probably
too,
10%,
we didn't actually talk about it, but like the buy sell that we're going to be currently working on for our client, it also covers divorce. So what do we do in the event of a divorce? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we make sure that your ex is not going to come after us as partner because it's community property state?
Right.
So that has to be addressed as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that we need to loop back for just a second, and how do they, if one were to use life insurance policies to fund, how are they purchased, right? Is it the company? Now, there is no right or wrong answer, but there's different ramifications for each. If it's two partners, it's a little bit easier. You buy one on me, I buy one on you. That's usually the simpler.
Right, but let's say that there's five partners.
There's five partners.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got policies that are cross-purchase, and mm-hmm. in many cases there's a special entity called a cross-purchase entity
mm-hmm.
Created. It's another trust.
Mm-hmm.
It owns a policy, five policies, proceeds go into that entity and then buy out. So... gets slightly more complicated
right.
and sophisticated with the additional partners.
So just so we can just make sure we're not boring everyone, but just making sure that we're addressing the main things overall.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is planning ahead, getting a plan. Sometimes it might be complicated, but at least you're kind of getting steps in place, and you can always change and modify, but just making sure you're using your team. Like, we're kind of like the liaison for our clients. We kind of re-review everything with them, kind of help them understand, but we're not the CPA, we're not the estate attorney, we're not the business attorney and insurance. So we work with everyone all together to be able to make sure that they're properly covered and all their bases are taken care of.
It's definitely a team approach, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because we couldn't do it really by ourselves.
Right.
The CPA and the attorney, I think, are imperative. Just to make sure we cover all the other items. So retirement. So chances are I'm going to retire before you. Maybe not. You never know.
You never know.
So somewhere in the buy sell, we have to address, like, what does that look like and,
right.
and how? Because I might come and say, hey, I want my, you know, $100 worth of my shares.
Yeah.
And you're going to figure out how you're going to pay me.
Yeah.
Now, here's where again, sometimes using multiple tools, it might be that, hey, we've used one of those cash value type insurance policies we talked about to help cover in the event of a death. But
mm-hmm.
hey, you didn't die, Bart. You're still alive. But hey, there's money in here, and I can use this money to help buy you out.
Right.
So this is a great, great case for, and many times using a well-crafted, well-designed life insurance policy for these things. And then similar to that is termination, whether it's, you know, there's guidelines to say, you know, Bart stopped coming to the office, you know, he's not doing what he's supposed to do, and hey, maybe it's time to go.
You're in Tahiti every day.
Yeah, that might be a little problematic. So that would be cause for you to say, hey, it's time to go. And
right.
then if as long as those check boxes are done, I still have a right to my shares. I just don't, you know,
right.
it wouldn't be right for you to continue to pay me, but I still have value in the company.
Right.
So all that needs to be addressed inside the buy sell.
Can I ask one other question here? We've done a number of shows on prenups. And okay, marriage is kind of a partnership, and people, and every time we do a show on that, they say, even the most wealthy people, Paul McCartney being a perfect example, refuse to go into this. Because it's like negative karma. It's bad karma.
Yeah.
If I start talking about what happens if we die, if we break up, if we get divorced, it's almost like I don't want to deal with that. It's never going to happen. And do you see the same thing with business partnerships? We love each other. This is a great, we're in this forever. And if you force them to sit down and start talking about all these what ifs, they don't want
to. Freaks them out.
Freaks them out.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be different.
Yeah, it's definitely the right thing to do, just like a prenup is the right thing to do economically, and as advisors, we need to recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, people are going to have their opinions and do things that they feel, you know, that they can live with emotionally. So, but you're right, Paul, it's the exact same thing. And to a huge degree, a buy-sell is the equivalent of a prenup. It's a business person's equivalent to a
exactly.
Grant.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah. And you think of the Paul McCartney case being one of the most dramatic ones in recent years. His second marriage, he didn't want to do it. We're in love forever. We don't need it. And what, they got divorced 2-3 years later. And how much did it cost him? Or how much did they fight over that because they hadn't determined it? Yeah.
And it's the same for people with their living trusts. I, you know, I don't want to talk about death so they don't get their estate plan ready. And so it's very, all three of those things fall very similar. Since we're running really short, I think it's worth at least mentioning. So we use the case that, Tish, that you hit your head while you were skiing and you're not coming back.
Yeah.
So Key Man is another, basically it's another agreement, if you will, that needs to be funded that says, hey, I count on you, and I need to replace you.
Right.
So we need some sort of funding mechanism to say, hey, I need something in the bank that's going to help sustain while you're out.
Right.
And then also enough money to go and find someone to hire.
Right.
So we call that key man planning. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, that's the one that is funded with some sort of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And you do key man life, and you could do key man disability.
Because
if you're just knocked in the head and you're not coming back, then you're disabled.
Right.
But if the other happened, then obviously we have life insurance.
And I always recommend, like, my personal favorite is for business owners and executives to sit down and go, I always say, like, at least once a year a retreat. And when they do their retreat, they just talk about some of these uncomfortable things and then just kind of review it, pull out the meeting notes and kind of dust it off and just say, okay, what do we need to do? How is everything going? Are we on track? Are we hitting our numbers? Those are the normal conversations you might be having. What's the direction we want to go next year? Are we still, and then you pull up the old stuff. Are we still on track? Is this what we want to do? Is this the direction we want to go? Have we reviewed everything else? Just because maybe you set this up years ago, tax law changes, right? Estate law changes, business law changes, people's lives change and evolve over time. And so even if you don't want to deal with it, at the very least, you pull it out once a year on your, like I say, quote unquote, annual retreat. You're kind of out of the office, out of your normal situation, and you plan for things that are the what ifs. And you just kind of get in there, knock it out, and then be done, and then move on and conduct business as usual.
Yeah. All right. So any parting thoughts other than that?
All I know is I stepped out of the room for 1 minute just to go check on something, and I come back in, and I heard you say, he's not coming back. Wow, I was out just like that.
So funny.
Well, I think it's a topic that, and I kid about it, but I don't think, I agree with the Twitter question. I think it's a subject most people don't want to face, don't want to deal with, and put off till it's too late, or if ever. You're young, you're starting, you're new together. It's not the first thing on your mind how we're going to break up and all these what ifs. But if you don't, you're in for a what if of, you're in for a world of hurt if these things come to pass.
Yeah.
And I want to also just say is I'm going to do a social media plug.
I was going to set you up for that, your favorite part of the show.
No, it's so fun. So if you like what you're hearing, I want you to make sure that you go and you like us. And it's something fun. I don't know if you ever follow us on Twitter or Instagram, Facebook, but we update our connection link every single week. And those links are to our latest podcast. So we want you guys to have current information up to date. And really, we're trying hard here for you guys to be able to get information that's valuable. So if you have, if you like it and you share it with your friends, that's really, it helps us being able to have the word out there. And we also know that you are, you like what we're talking about, and we're kind of on track with some.
And maybe it helps them open up a conversation that they want to have with their friends, partners, significant others, but can't.
Yes.
So it's an easy way to say, I can't get my partner to talk about this, but here, listen
to this.
Let's
listen to this podcast together, and then we're talking about it. I'm like, hey, oh, by the way, we haven't thought about that lately, or, oh, you know, this is a great solution or a tip. And so sometimes people don't get this access unless they're a client, and we share this with everyone for you.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't actually made a big deal about this, but Paul, do you know we just passed our a year anniversary of doing shows?
You're kidding. It seems like only yesterday that you came
so
here for
fun.
The but it's amazing how these conversations build an audience and continue on and on.
We're over 2,000 downloads on Stitchers, I think, right?
Wow.
Podbean,
one of them.
Yeah.
Well, it's a topic that I think you guys have hit on a niche. people want to get the kind of information unless they're a client, and it ain't easy to become a client of these guys here. How do you get this information out there? Even if you have other financial advisors, I'm not sure they talk about all these things. I think they take you to lunch and play golf with you a lot, but I don't know if they go into some of these more difficult conversations very often.
All right. Well,
make sure you click on Zambergen Report, Wealth Strategies and Investment Wisdom, and you can find us online, and we're happy to help you guys. Thank you.
Next week, we got to do something really fun here. Let's find something big next week here.
Oh, man, Paul. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zambergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzanbergen.podbean.com. The Zanbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzanbergen.com. Bart A. Zanbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest Inc. and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest Inc. under SEC registration.